President Trump has signed the so-called Right to Try legislation into law. At its core, Right to Try gives terminally ill patients the chance to use drug treatments that are in the Food and Drug Administration pipeline but haven't been approved by the FDA for broad use. Nearly 40 states, including Arizona, have Right to Try laws in place, but the federal government didn't until now. Right to Try got its start in Arizona with the Goldwater Institute involved in its origins. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from a group with concerns about Right to Try, but I start with a supporter, Starley Coleman, senior policy advisor for the Goldwater Institute. Starley, what got Right to Try off the ground at Goldwater?
About 5 years ago, we were looking around at the landscape of treatment options for patients who were at the end of the line, patients who were terminal, who had tried all of their available options, and whose doctors told them, basically, there's nothing left for you, it's time to get your affairs in order. And we started thinking about how patients in that situation have access to treatments that are in the approval pipeline in clinical trials, because oftentimes, you know, there will be drugs in clinical trials that end up emerging, coming onto the market, and being truly life-saving or, you know, real breakthrough therapy or treatment. So we wanted to know whether or not patients who were in this, you know, dire situation had access to those drugs. And it turns out that they really don't, except for under very limited circumstances. So we tried to, you know, come up with some solutions for how we could broaden the availability of those drugs to people who truly need them before it's too late. That's when we came up with the Right to Try concept. We passed it for the first state was Colorado in 2014. Also in 2014, Arizona voters passed it as a referendum on the ballot in 2014 with about 80% approval. Since then, it's passed in 40 states and, of course, is now federal law.
Is this sort of it? It's been passed, it's been signed, and now it's sort of understandable? Or are there still little tweaks that might need to be made to firm it up or make it as accessible as you'd like it to be?
Right to Try is for patients who are truly at the end of the line. In order to qualify for Right to Try, your doctor has to certify that you are terminally ill, that you have tried everything available on the market, and that you cannot participate in a clinical trial. So Right to Try is really for people who need one last shot. The legislation will hopefully open the door to treatments that are being safely used in clinical trials to lots and lots of people. But like any piece of federal legislation, once it passes, that's rarely the end of the discussion. There's going to be a lot of discussion about how to implement it in the best way to make sure that, you know, as many patients as possible will now have access to additional treatments and new therapies. So we'll have to see what happens over the next couple of months, you know, how the FDA issues guidelines for drug companies to participate, what kind of information needs to be made available to doctors, so that everyone understands that this is a new option out there for patients.
And Starley, what was wrong, what is wrong with the way the FDA goes through its approval process? Why did that become a concern?
There's nothing wrong with the FDA drug approval process. We all want the same thing, and that is for drugs that ultimately end up on pharmacy shelves and in our medicine cabinets to be safe and effective and available to everybody who needs them. And there's nothing wrong with the way the FDA approaches that under normal circumstances. The challenge here and what we're talking about is what happens for people when they're terminally ill and there's a potential life-saving or life-extending drug in the approval process that won't be approved before it could help them. And all we're talking about speeding up is for people in this really narrow circumstance to have access to a drug that could help them before it's too late. We're not talking about whether or not the FDA should change the way it ultimately approves drugs or do anything different. All we're saying is that if you are terminal and you don't have any options left, but there's something in the approval pipeline that is being safely used in clinical trials, you should have access to that treatment too.
Starley Coleman is Senior Policy Advisor for the Goldwater Institute. Starley, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
In February, nearly 40 health-related organizations sent a letter to Speaker Paul Ryan and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi expressing their, quote, strong opposition to the Right to Try legislation. One of those organizations is the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Its Vice President for Federal Relations and Strategic Alliances is Keisha Brooks Coley, and she's with me. Keisha, what were some of the specific concerns about Right to Try?
As a patient advocacy organization, we always, of course, want to make sure that patients have access to the most innovative therapies available. However, the concerns we had with the recently passed right to try legislation is that the new law would allow for therapies to be provided to patients before they finished the clinical trial phase in many instances, and actually would not allow for FDA to be very much involved in that process. Currently, that FDA is very much involved in making sure that when those therapies that have not gone through the full drug development process, to have experts at FDA to making sure that they're addressing specific issues around dosing and scheduling and administration of those drugs and tracking to make sure that if there are any patient concerns or patient safety issues, that the FDA is alerted and can be addressing those concerns. And that really is the reason that we were opposed and had concerns that we relayed to Capitol Hill around the patient safety concerns that were not addressed in the bill.
To what extent do you think there's a misperception of why certain drugs don't get to market?
So I think what is concerning for us is that we know that upwards of 99% of therapies actually, when patients are trying to get access to these medications before they have completely gone through the full drug development process, are actually approved and provided to the patient. 99% is a pretty high number. I mean, there are some patients who may not be getting those medications. And when you look at the reasons for it, I mean, some of the reasons that patients aren't are because of the fact that maybe it may not be the right medication for them to take. It may not be the therapy that should be provided to a patient based off of the way that FDA has reviewed that particular drug for that particular patient. And you know, we feel as though there are ways that FDA could be making sure that they're working very closely with patients, and there's always room for improvement. However, going the way that looking at the policy changes that are included in the legislation that recently passed, it's not the direction that we think that the policy should be moving forward, because it does significantly take FDA and the experts at FDA out of that really important process. So always room for improvement, but we don't think that the policy changes that were recently signed into law is the right way to move forward.
How much pressure does this potentially put on terminally ill patients to actually have greater knowledge of what the situation may be here?
Patients who have serious illnesses like cancer are always looking to try to figure out, you know, what are the options that they have. And I think as we move forward with this new law being implemented and Commissioner Gottlieb being charged to do that in his department to implement the new law, we'll have to see how the department actually, you know, promulgates regulations that really lays out what changes from a public policy standpoint will move forward. And I think patients will have to have an understanding of what those changes are and how that would impact potentially any medications that they're looking to be able to access before the final approval process. And that's something that, from ACS CAN's perspective, that we plan on paying very close attention to, the details of how those policy changes, what they will be and what they will mean for patient safety.
Let me ask you finally then, so with ACS CAN going forward, the president has signed this into law. Is there anything that your organization or others can still do, whether it's educating the public, whether it's looking to come up with other legislation to massage this particular one, counter it, anything like that?
One thing that we definitely plan on doing is trying to have an open line of communication with the FDA and with the commissioner to reiterate some of the concerns that we have with potential impact of the new law on patient safety, and to try to make sure that, you know, the patient perspective is included as they're looking to make those final rules and changes to guidelines. And we will be paying very close attention. I don't know if we'll see new legislation that addresses that. I think that, you know, this is something that Capitol Hill has been talking about and working on for a number of months. And I think now most of the focus will be looked at the department to see how do they move forward with the changes in law.
All right. Keisha Brooks Coley is Vice President of Federal Advocacy and Strategic Alliances for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Keisha, thank you for the time today.
Thank you.